this is. It's going to hurt, but it won't kill you. We talk about resilience, tenacity, and how we operate in the face of adversity. I have a pretty special guest here with us today, Mr. Elijah. They call you Humpty.
That's what they call me.
Tell me about that, man. Where did that come from?
Man, so it's actually from the legend behind the camera, Mr. Joseph Pucciarelli. That's what I call him. We just started working together, same company, and Humpty Dumpty just came about one day. I honestly don't even know how. Similar to this interview, I don't know how this happened, but here we are.
So, under the circumstances, man, I think we've seen some pretty funny things happen today. You've had a couple of mishaps.
That's true.
What's the inspiration behind some of the work that you do?
Yeah, so I love to create. I love the give and take, the push and pull, the tension of action and reaction in spaces. As it pertains to today specifically, I had a couple of instances. During some of your earlier episodes, I've had a very important job. I just kind of outlined some questions, just make sure that we're kind of staying on track. We got some timers going. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And I had a beautiful seat over there, wicker. It looks like it came from Zamunda. It's like my Zamundan throne. So I was chilling up there, right? Let me get my things right. I got big things. Clock set. All right. Set, right? And then in this moment, you were going through some great questions with some great guests, and I had to just adjust because my leg was falling asleep. My right leg specifically. I just had to adjust just a little bit of this, right? Just a little bit of twist.
Right.
And in that moment, as I twisted, the chair demons came after me. The wicker said, "Not today, son." And thankfully, because of your professionalism and your guest professionalism, it didn't disrupt the episode. Nothing happened. We didn't have to stop the take. But that was just one of a couple. Let me tell you another instance. All right. So we have a beautiful space that we're renting from somebody. I'm sure. I don't know who. The renting gods. But beautiful space. Beautiful space.
Brian and Kimberly.
Shout out to you. We'll put your socials down here. Rent from them. Great space. There's a restroom just off to the side, right? Long, hard day of work. We've been really going for it. I just had to relieve myself, wash my hands, look at myself in the mirror, kind of splash some water. You could do it, son. You could do it. As I was doing that, the sink was a little bit lower than I thought.
Yeah.
It was just a little bit lower. I don't know if anybody else in this room experienced that, but I did. So I went to go wash my hands. And you know what? This actually goes back to my childhood. Okay, so when I was younger, I was a little bit bigger. Some would say husky, some would say fluffy. My mom called me a mattress. God honest story. So I got accustomed to wearing clothes that were a little bit more baggy. So into my adulthood, I like things that are a little bit loose, right?
Yeah.
So as it pertained to this drop low sink, I went to go wash my hands, and because of the looseness of my shirt, of the wardrobe that I choose to clothe myself in nowadays, because of my past,
right?
It my shirt just kissed the edge of the water soaked countertop.
Just kissed it.
Gentle. And it left just a streak of deplorable, awful, horrendous even, watermark right across my shirt.
Man.
People thought I missed the toilet, and I said no, it was a sink, but nobody believed me.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit earlier about action and reaction. Mm-hmm. When you moved in the wicker chair, as you said, we didn't really react to that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sir Isaac Newton, I guess.
Right.
And I bring that up because just in your maneuvering throughout the day, again, there's so many things that happen. And I just continue to be amazed the more I sit down and talk with you and listen to how you process things. It's an amazing thing to sit back and reflect on. So you also brought up your childhood, and I think there are so many things that happened in our childhood that influence how we navigate the world today.
Right.
Are there any specific things that happened in your childhood that are similar to what happened today? And if so, can you tell me how that has put you in this position?
Right. You gonna pull it out of me?
Hey, man.
You gonna pull it out of me?
That's what I do.
That's what you do. That's what you do. You do it best. Man, so as I said, I was big boned.
Mm.
Again, like AKA that. Fluffy, AKA Husky, AKA Mattress, depending on who you are.
Amen.
So, you know, that being said, it didn't always allow me to be the most agile and nimble as I could be physically. My heart was.
Right.
My heart wanted to dance. But my body, it wasn't quite there yet. It wasn't quite there yet. So, you know, there was multiple instances. So, man, we really going there. All right. So there was multiple instances. So if you don't know by now, I know I'm a little bit ambiguous looking. But, you know, full disclosure, I'm half Mexican, 3% West African, and then a whole lot of other things that my father is. We don't know. He won't take the test. That's a God honest truth. God honest truth. So, all that being said, we used to make trips to Mexico quite often, right? Just over the border, Tijuana, Ensenada area. Really, really get in touch with my roots, right?
Right.
Man, so there was this one time specifically, I was maybe 7 or 8, you know, young boy, growing up, trying to figure the thing out, right? We actually went there for missions trips started by my grandparents. So it was me, I have an older brother that's 5 years older than me. At that time, my younger brother was, he's 5 years younger, so he was 3. So we would, you know, oftentimes find ourselves in disagreements with the local boys. So there was this one time specifically, it was late at night, dirt roads, you know, kind of just in the middle of nowhere, right? And you know, it's no, obviously no snow in Mexico where we were at. I'm getting somewhere, just bear with me. It's no snow in Mexico, right? So we got to throw something at each other.
Mm.
So the only thing that was around was rocks. So
let's pause there for a second. In lieu of snow, the next best thing for you were rocks.
Were rocks.
Not like dirt or like sand or something that, you know, typical people probably would come up with. You thought rocks was...
Rocks.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we address that. Rocks. Go ahead.
Now, that actually goes back to my childhood. So I wonder if this is a metaphor, even a way that we tend to think now in life and even the socioeconomic standings of our state and even our cultures, right?
Mm.
See, there's so many things that we could do, so many middle grounds, right?
Right.
We don't have to go from good to bad or even like the extremes, if you will. You know what I mean? Sometimes there is other alternatives.
Right.
But because we're still young and naive and we just want to jump from place to place, A to B, and oftentimes extremes.
Very.
We heap rocks on each other.
Yeah.
Hateful words, rock. In traffic, the beep of a horn, rock.
I love the connection there. I love it.
Your mama jokes,
rock.
So that's all I'm saying. I know it might feel like a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But it's relevant. I would say be introspective.
Right.
Search yourself.
Yeah.
What's the rock you're throwing?
You know what? That's a good question, because I feel like now that you say that, I have to reflect and think about some of the rocks that I've thrown. I was having a conversation with a guy the other day, and we had a little bit of a disagreement. I was right and he was wrong, but he didn't like my delivery. So to him, that probably felt like a rock.
It's a rock.
But to me, in that moment, I thought I was throwing snow. But the way he reacted to him, it was most definitely a rock. So I get the connection, and I respect that. But what I do want to address, though, is you also mentioned a little bit earlier that there are certain nicknames that you were called, and I don't want to skip over that. So you talked about a Fluffy and Husky, and then you mentioned the mattress. So that one came from your mom.
It did.
Let's dive into the impact of that.
Oh, man. All right.
So I think it was appropriate that we took some time to put you in this specific seat, because as we talked about earlier, as we were going through a couple of the other interviews, there was a little noise that came from behind, little action that we chose not to react to. Right. But to your point, man, it does look like you're sitting on the throne. You look like you deserve to be respected. And I'm not throwing a rock.
No rocks.
No rock.
No rocks.
I'm not throwing a rock. But I do want to get back to the question that we asked, which was, you know, talk about the impact of, like, the mattress thing.
Impact of names. Man, that's heavy.
Yeah.
So.
No pun intended.
No pun. No pun intended. You know, what I think is interesting.
There you go. Get comfortable.
You gotta get comfortable.
This chair. Oh man, you good?
I'm good.
All right.
What I think is interesting is, you know, actually, I'm gonna push back a little bit just on what you said. Okay, so okay. I don't know that I would. I don't know that I would say, you know, things like Husky, Fluffy, mattress are a name, more so a title given you.
Okay.
So I wonder if title is something that we can accept or reject.
Ooh-wee.
Our name is God-given. Yes, he used our parents to give it to us, but it's God-given.
Hey, man, I feel like you're about to get deep. I feel like there's something so powerful about to come. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, go ahead. You're good. That's what it is, right? Right? It's God-given. But a title is something that we as humans, as fallen beings, oftentimes abuse. Now, I wonder if we just let that set in for a minute. So going back to Fluffy, Husky, mattress.
Right.
Those are titles. And we're talking about resilience.
Way to put it in perspective.
We're talking about resilience.
Right.
Now, if I was to let a title get to me, whether it be positive or negative, in this way, negative, I wonder how that would start to chip away at this space of resilience, learning. These are not names. These are not spaces that it's not a name that was given to me, but more a title that was hurled on me.
That's a strong word. Hurled.
Hurled.
Like rocks.
Like rocks.
Like we hurled rocks at each other. I knew, like, when we sat down for this interview, you were going to just share some things that just made me sit back and reflect. But I didn't expect that it was going to be centered around names and titles. On the opposite side of, you know, Husky and Fluffy and mattress, are there any specific titles that come to mind for you? You're like, I'm gonna own this one.
Beautiful. Intelligent.
Uh-huh.
I had somebody say it to me one time, and it got to me. So you was smart, you was kind, and you was important. And I took that to heart.
Yeah.
I took that to heart.
So why do those titles matter to you?
Smart to me is important because, so back to my childhood. I was homeschooled.
Yeah.
I know that you probably can't tell. My demeanor doesn't reflect that of my lack of social interaction as a young person. But to hear someone say that I'm smart, I had no teachers that said that.
Mm.
I had no other classmates that said, "Hey man, you're smart." I had no one say that to me.
Yeah.
So as a grown adult, having someone else's auntie say you're smart, it's impactful.
That's very specific. Very specific.
To hear someone say, "You're kind."
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anyone to share my animal crackers with.
Right.
I had no way to express my kindness in a space of peer-to-peer interaction.
Right.
You know, it's, listen, young person to adult, important.
Yeah.
But we cannot negate the fact that a peer-to-peer interaction and transaction is needed for growth.
Mm. I mean, you just keep dropping gems, bro. Because I feel like at the end of the day, when we talk about these interactions that we have with people, I don't think anything's really a coincidence. I think everything is just kind of divine. Like even us just having this conversation, it's just like one of those divine conversations where you get a chance to connect with people and you could possibly change their life in that moment. I want to talk about some of those life-changing moments for you. Are there any specific things that you could tie back to that you said, "Hey, man, when this happened for Humpty, changed my life"?
Changed my life. Yeah. Well, I'll start beyond the smart, kind, important.
Mm.
Big one.
Yeah.
But beyond
like
that.
Ski. Smart, kind, important. What? You started skiing after that.
Skiing.
Yeah.
So it's a progression.
Right.
It's a progression. You know, to take it on a little bit more of a serious note, I've had ailments in my body for years. My appendix. Well, it's not mine anymore. It's not there.
I very much appreciate your delivery. We'll continue, please.
My appendix is not there no more. That was a life-changing space for me.
Yeah.
The doctor said, "Son, if you would have fell asleep last night, you would have never seen the light of another day."
Oh, my God. I'm crying because I'm laughing because, you know, trying to keep myself from crying in this moment.
It's good. Sometimes you got to laugh through pain.
Right.
That's the thing. You got to laugh through pain, you know? You made a fantastic quote about pain. Would you remind me of what that was?
I said, hold on to your wicker chair. I said, we don't always get the opportunity to choose our pain, but we can choose how we respond to that pain. You like that?
I love that.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
All right. Everybody in podcast land, take note. Say it one more time for the people in the back.
We don't always get the opportunity to choose our pain. We can only choose how we respond to that pain.
To go about your quote, I love the choice words, not react, but respond. So in moments of the ailments that I underwent, my response was, my response was, "Baby Jesus, I'm coming to you in your formidable early years. Help me. I'm in pain." I didn't choose it.
But what?
But God, I'm choosing to respond. Thank you.
Oh, man. I love how that just resonated with you, and you just, you know, followed up on that. I think just the work that you do to keep people's spirits up, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You said you had an important job earlier, and I think this is part of your important job, not only within this room, but the way that you navigate this world and how you serve people through laughter and bring positive energy to the world. So kudos to you, man. But beyond that, I want to ask you, are there any specific things that you can say to people to say, all right, well, as you navigate your journey, here's what you need to do to be more resilient?
How did you ask that? Well, first off, I would say, get the book.
Boom.
Get the book. Everybody read it with me. Everybody in the room, read it with me. One, two, three. It's gonna hurt, but it won't kill you. One more time. Everybody in the room. It's gonna hurt, but it won't kill you. Get the book. Get the book. Where can they find the book at?
You can find that on TillmanKeaton.com, or you can go to Amazon and type in Tillman M. Keaton. You'll not only find It's Gonna Hurt, But It Won't Kill You, but there's also Grace, A Conversation with God, 100 Days of Grace Meditation Journal. And there's also Change Your Life, which was the first book that I wrote. Change Your Life was about the fact that I decided that I was at a space in my life where I had to be fearless. So LIFE is an acronym for Live in Fear Every Day or Live in Fearlessness Every Day.
I like that.
And we have a choice. We have a choice, but we got to make the right one. So Change Your Life, also on Amazon, Tillman M. Keaton, or you can go to TillmanKeaton.com. I have a life-changing bundle that includes Change Your Life. It includes It's Gonna Hurt, But It Won't Kill You. It also includes Grace Meditation Journal, 100 Days of Grace.
I like that. Bundle, all right? Listen, Podcast Land, take advantage of the bundle, all right?
Definitely.
God gifts us things. We've been gifted opportunities. You don't know what's behind that door.
Right.
You don't know the bundle.
I just told them the bundle. So they do know the bundle. They know the bundle.
I was speaking in larger metaphor.
Ah, gotcha. Because they don't know what the bundle can bring to their life.
Yes, this specific bundle, it's very clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's bundle. Mm. But even the bundle.
Right.
You read, you take action, and you respond. That's a part of the bundle that is not clear, but we are gifting you the opportunity.
Right.
To explore that.
Powerful stuff, man. Any final thoughts you want to share with the world?
You were smart. And you was kind. And you was important. Never forget. Somebody else's auntie told me that. And now I'm telling you. Go and sin no more.
Oh, man. Oh. I don't know what to say. Humpty came on here and just stole the show. I think Humpty really could have done this entire thing by himself with a wicker chair, splashing water on himself, losing all control, and not really understanding those moments when he probably should have just been still. But I think now, though, he's in a place where he's having a much greater impact than he probably even realizes. With the energy that he brings, the laughter that he brings, the joy that he brings, he's changing lives. One wicker chair at a time. With that said, man, everybody has a story. I have a story. Humpty has a story. And no matter what life throws at you, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how loud the wicker chair is, it's gonna hurt, but it won't kill you.
Thank you. You were smart. He was kind.